It's the dead ET programmer and his box of dildos.
Nah, yes, that would be. Until he committed suicide.
He's not dead,
the
actually.
The game was so bad.
He's still alive.
He is now. You heard about this documentary. I'm like, I know how to immortalize myself. Nobody will ever forget this.
You see him clutching an ET cart in his hand with a big thumbs up.
I'd pay to watch that. I'd get an Xbox to watch that.
Yeah, I'm going to spend $600 on a taped and glued together console with no games just to watch a 10-hour excavation of people rooting through the dirt in New Mexico looking for cartridges for a game that was released, what, 30 years ago?
There's a body at the end.
I'm just glad I hit start broadcast in time to catch our best conversations. You know, they always happen before the actual episode. So we got a tiny bit of it this time for the video for those who want to watch it later.
I question your sanity, Jason. That's just
That's what it is.
Just now. It's just
the straw that broke the camel's back.
Just wait for Indie Popcorn.
Welcome to episode 83 of One More Podcastle, part of the Retroid.com podcast network. My name is Eric Bailey. I like to write my own birthday card messages, and I am the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer, and I will be busting chops tonight.
My name is Jason Lamb, resident Canadian, and I like cheese.
Pretty sure you've used that one before.
You want to go back and do it again?
I do.
Okay.
Wait, hold on.
Wait for it.
I like cheese.
Oh. Wait, let
he
me
He said, want to go back and do it again. He just did it again.
All right.
If you thought I took things literally, Jason literally takes things literally.
Oh.
Yes. That is correct. On all accounts, therein.
Yes.
I think Jason only has one account.
No, well, he may only have one account. He's got access to multiple accounts.
I do.
That's true.
That's the scary bit of news that everybody should be frightened about.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, Jason's never like the top man on the totem pole in charge of one structure. He's just the guy who coincidentally happened to design the blueprints for several structures that he has his hands in here and there. Wikipedia, could be gone tomorrow if you wanted to.
Good.
Yep. One more castle, you could burn it all to ash.
Poof.
Like that. Twitter, you know. Hope
I
you
can
like
just
it,
imagine you just a play. Very intense boardroom with about six or seven guys who have been there for about 12 hours trying to figure out the solution to a problem. Jason just walks in. He's like, oh, yeah, got the blueprint for this. Huh. Did it about 8 years ago. Here you go.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I leave that back door open? Don't be scared, guys. I'll just take care of that. Don't worry about
take care
that.
Yeah.
I'm just Canadian. Don't
if
be afraid.
If you tell anyone about this,
I'm sorry. I'm going to kill you.
It's part of the contract.
Wow. Way to,
part of the contract. Yep.
Sorry, but I have to kill you.
I'm sorry.
Canadian assassin.
So sorry. That would be, man, what if James Bond was Canadian? That would be the worst movie series
he's just,
ever.
He's slowly choking someone to death. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, God.
I can't even imagine this.
I'm so sorry.
He breaks into some corporate headquarters and spends like 5 minutes stealthily like going down silently down the hallway. He picks the lock. He gets into the office of the CEO there working late. He sneaks up behind him. He wraps his arm around him. He breaks his neck. And as their bodies slump to the ground, you hear him whisper, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. So,
That'd be the name of the film. So sorry.
So sorry.
I'm so sorry. I forgot to clock out. Nice.
Oh.
Worst superhero ever.
The Canadian assassin.
Yeah.
Funk. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'll pay for your funeral.
Um, Do you have my blood money? Yeah, sorry, I was supposed to get that to you yesterday. Oh, it's no problem. It's no problem. Do you want to take some popular metro transportation that's in the city? Sure.
The next Assassin's Creed game has to take place in the Canadian wilderness. That would be the best.
You're a Mountie. You're trying to sneak around in this red uniform with the hat and the boots.
Against the snow?
Yeah. Befriending every animal in the forest.
You don't have a horse, it's a moose.
It's a moose, yes, of course. It's got satchels of maple syrup on its back. It's going from town to town. What are we doing, man?
All the missions are themed.
What are we doing?
Who stole the syrup? It's the Sticky Fingers mission.
We're coming up with insane game ideas. We are the best at coming up with crazy game ideas.
So bad.
We shouldn't... Whatever current format we use for the podcast, we should just pitch it out the window.
Yeah. And just, every week we'll just come up with a new game.
Man.
Just talk about that for an hour.
Like I would have sit down with like an expert of Canada and just be like, and pitch him the idea of Assassin's Creed in Canada.
See,
this is what we're looking for.
I want to become a popular enough podcast, like thousands of listeners, that happens to include like a lot of designers, programmers, and pixel artists that realistically we actually could crank out an indie game every week based on our insane ideas. I mean, I'm still salivating over the concept of a Dennis Hopper assistant simulator. I don't know about you guys. Maybe I'm just speaking to myself on
Can
that
Can you
one,
believe but... that? He's
oh,
dead.
I'm sorry. Killed by James.
Or maybe just somebody who's just like an artist, like a graphic artist who could just animate it for us.
Or like, even just someone who's like half decent at Photoshop to make some box art.
Mm-hmm.
I'd settle for that.
Yeah.
All right, my standards are rapidly getting lower now. I went from making a whole game to
I just went box art. Just
can you paste art. A famous Canadian's art. Face on the GoldenEye box? Good enough for me.
Wow.
Dan Aykroyd in the shadows.
Oh, that's right. He's Canadian, Dan. Yeah. Okay.
He is, right? I'm not yeah, wrong on Canadian. That, am I? Okay, good. Thank you.
We can have the dog
that.
From Due South, or the wolf from Due South. You ever seen Due South? It was a huge. My
it
mom was a
atrocious.
Huge fan of that show. It was about a Mountie, but he was like a detective too, and he had a dog who was deaf.
It's a Canadian crime drama series.
Yeah, I think the dog was deaf, but he was a wolf.
It ran for 4 years.
Yeah, dude, it's pretty impressive. It was a pretty good show. The guy who played the Mountie was really cool.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe some of other Canadian listeners will know what I'm talking about. Thanks for nothing, Jason. Thanks for nothing. You want to talk about Degrassi? We can talk about Degrassi. I love Degrassi.
Hate Degrassi.
Let me. You know what? You can keep that to yourself. I was going to ask: have you guys played any old video games lately?
Are we back on track? Is that what we're?
No. We're not back on track. We are finally getting on a track.
Some track of some sort.
I played Star Wars Starfighter again.
Cool.
Starfighter.
Farsighter.
It's kind of crap.
That's
my review. It's crap.
Wow.
Yeah.
I expect a full review on onemorecastle.com by Tuesday.
It's
just three words. It's kind of crap.
It takes the fun out of space combat. You don't actually feel like you're in space.
Wow.
Like, the whole thing about the movement in space, there has to be objects that get, you know, when you go towards them, they get bigger.
Yeah.
Depending on your speed. On the space levels in this, there's nothing.
It's just black?
There's black. There's objects, like, so far away you couldn't reach them, and they don't get bigger. Mm. So it just feels like you're pivoting in this one space.
Okay, so it feels like you're in a spherical room where someone just painted stars on the walls.
Yeah, and some random starfighters will fly by and you'll just shoot them. It's like a turret game.
That's such a depressing phrase. It takes the fun out of space combat. Because I feel like that's combat. Really hard. Space combat is a really easy thing to make fun.
Yeah, they have some ground levels, but they kind of suck too.
Yeah, so. I mean, nobody plays Star Fox 64 for the ground level.
So what? You said you played it again. Yeah. What made you play it again?
Thank you, Hunter.
Well,
thank
I have you, it for Hunter. I bought it on Steam during the last Steam sale.
Right.
Oh, gosh.
And I played it for a bit. And then I went away.
Jason?
And then I played it again.
Jason?
Yeah?
What haven't you bought on Steam yet?
I don't know. Half-Life 3.
It's because it's not out yet.
Perfect answer. Perfect answer. It is somewhere.
It is somewhere.
Canadian
in my
James
heart.
Bond is playing it right now.
That's right. That
if
is
Gabe
correct.
Gabe dies tonight, we're all going to know why.
Apologizing to everybody.
I want a mod of first-person shooter now. Like Duke Nukem, except replace it with all, like, apologies.
You could make it, you could call it Moose Nukem.
Yeah.
Wow. That's too much, man. I'll tell you what, Jason. I do a fairly decent Duke Nukem impression.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
I will tell you, right, if you will write the lines, I will record them in my high-quality audio booth that I have at my house.
This may have to happen. I could replace all the money he throws at the strippers with our colorful Canadian money.
Or maybe like now, a t-shirt.
I've heard about this colorful Canadian money, but American money is getting pretty colorful, too. I just want to throw that out there. Not that we have to be like more colorful.
Like everybody else.
Make it a competition, but...
I know, you're playing catch-up. It's all right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Ketchup in America. A lot of ketchup.
That's real.
Can we
Hunter,
play mustard instead?
Oh. I do prefer mustard, honestly.
Yeah, as do too. I. Maybe some relish.
Mm. Yeah, I don't like relish.
Mm.
I like mustard.
Mustard. You don't like relish?
Not really.
Do you like pickles?
I love pickles.
You just don't like relish. Them on things.
No, I like pickles on things. I'll put.
You just don't like it
a...
in. You don't like it in convenient form.
Right.
Yeah, I don't. I don't like it it's in like a weird saucy type thing.
I guess when you think of it that way, it is kind of weird. Relish really is just pickle soup.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
Soup. I made pickle soup once.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's called relish.
No, Hunter. No.
Wait.
Pickle soup is when you suspend it in water. Relish is when you suspend it in vinegar. That's
oh.
I'm an expert on pickled products. Yeah. That's
sounds
a lie,
like
by the way. That's a horrible lie.
Well,
I know nothing about
them. I'm all right with them.
They confuse me.
Yeah. I'm still playing through Resident Evil Zero.
Cool.
It's fun. I enjoy it.
That's good. How quickly did you acclimate to the switching between characters mechanic? Because that took me a while to really like get a hold of that, the hang of it.
I don't know. I kept finding myself doing it by accident because I was looking for like the inventory menu.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if that's just because I'm still getting used to the control scheme, maybe. Or, I think the thing that I struggle with the most is remembering that I need to go in to the menu to make sure that he follows me. Or
right.
He's just going to be left, because then it's just a pain in the ass of, I just traveled clear across the level, and now I have to switch back because I totally forgot to bring this asshole with me. So it's like just another 3 or 4 minutes of me just trucking it through the hallways and stuff, because all the zombies are dead, because I've already taken care of them. And,
mm-hmm.
You know,
Yeah, if you don't figure out the most efficient ways to move them, it can feel like the whole game is just one bad escort mission. I mean, there's a danger there of it feeling that way.
Yeah, and I had actually had let one of them die because I wasn't keeping track of what their health status was. Because I was playing as Rebecca and just blowing people away, and then one of the zombies came back and attacked, I can't remember his name now. But then he just died, and the game was over. And I was like, I probably should have saved my game about 30 minutes ago. So now I'm practically at the back at the beginning of the game.
Whoops.
I'm like, eh. Ow.
Toasty!
put it off to the... I'll say this, though. I really enjoyed the tank controls.
Yeah.
No.
Well, here's why. From somebody who plays a ton of 3D platformers, or has, rather, and you're constantly dealing with that bullshit camera, because, like, you'll move up, and then the camera will switch, and then suddenly up doesn't move forward anymore. It's left, because that's where the camera is. At least in Resident Evil, if I'm pushing up and the camera angle switches, if I'm still pulling up, then I'm still moving forward. Like, I'm still making progress.
Good call. That's a really excellent point. I like that a lot.
Like, that...
Tank controls let you commit to a direction.
Right, yeah. You're not constantly trying to struggle. You're constantly fighting with the camera in 3D platformers, which is one of the biggest downfalls of the genre. And, I mean, having that fixed camera sucks, because then it feels like you have even less control, where in reality, you have more control over the character than the environment, which I think is a better idea. But
you're making me realize maybe that's why I like Resident Evil 4 so much, because it's over the shoulder. So the whole world kind of revolves around where your character wants to go. So it's like having tank controls, but rather than, like, obviously the camera switching, it just stays behind you the whole time.
Right. Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's perfectly plausible. Another thing that I was thinking was, like, you know, Jason, you've played Resident Evil, so you'll be able to... there's a couple of times throughout all of the games where you get a key, you go to a door, you unlock the door with the mansion key, and then a little message comes up and says, you don't need this key anymore. Do you want to throw it away? And it's like they give you a choice. Who picks yes? Who picks to keep an item that you will never use again?
If it doesn't take up, like, inventory space, I kind of like hoarding, like, one of every item.
Yeah, there are people who will hoard the crap out of anything.
That is the strangest thing. Because it's like, why are you even asking me? Like, just drop the thing. Like, if I don't need it, because you don't get enough space in your inventory to begin with, the last thing I need is some dinky key.
If space is limited, pitch it. Yeah, definitely. I wonder if the game does that just so players don't get confused. Like, if you used it and then it automatically, like, disappeared, you didn't notice for a few minutes, you might freak out and be like, what happened to the square key?
Well, no, I mean, the game can say, oh, you don't need this anymore, we'll trash it. Not give me an option.
Okay, I see. Yeah, like, actually, like, that's smart.
Like, I think it's a slap in the face of the gamer from the developer, where it's like, oh, you don't need this key anymore. You just want to toss it? And you're like, no, I'll hold on to it. And then you go and you pick up the bazooka, and it's like, oh, you need an extra spot in your inventory for the bazooka. Probably shouldn't have held on to that key. You know, like, when I saw that, I was like, who would say yes? Who would say this is okay? I didn't. I throw it away. What are you going to do?
Yep. Well said.
Bailey.
What?
I just like saying your name.
Yeah.
Cool. Because if you were about to ask me, have I played any old video games? The answer is no. Why would I play an old video game when I have a 3DS?
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So, yeah. Screw you.
You got Pokemon, didn't you?
Nope, not yet.
Whoa. That's
I'm gonna play. There's a demo out that was recommended to me by Valerie Minnick. It's called Witch and Hero. It's actually kind of fun. So I'm gonna play it. So
if I were you, I would save your money.
Old games, if you want.
For
it's
Mega
a demo.
May.
I'm not paying.
No. Save your money for Mega May.
Yeah, in this game here, the witch, you know, she's turned to stone. So, you know, I can't use her yet. So I'm the other guy, and I have to defend. Like, there's these slimes, you know, blue slimes. That's a classic mechanic, right? They're coming at her, and I have to, like, kill them, you know? And that unlocks, like, jewels and stuff, and eventually stuff that'll make her turn into a thing that actually helps me out. But it's pretty fun. Like, they're coming at her. It's like old school meets new jams.
So it's like a tower defense kind of game?
A little more dynamic, fluid, live action. You know, it's actually a lot. It's like a medieval missile command, honestly.
A medieval missile command.
Yeah, because all of the enemies come toward the center, and you have to move the hero to intercept them. So, yeah.
Interesting.
Really enjoying it. The pixel art is delightful.
So, no old video games.
No, why would I? I have 3DS. Why would I play old games?
Dude, Mega May is coming. Be prepared.
Whatever, I'm just going to play with 3DS.
Yeah, dude, you can download Mega Man games on your 3DS in May. Mega
new?
Man 5 for the Game Boy is going to be released on a 3DS eShop.
Tell me, Hunter. Why would I intentionally choose to play an old video game?
When was the last time that you played Mega Man 5 for the Game Boy?
For the Game Boy, never. I have actually never played Mega Man 5 on the
It's going to be released in May. On your precious 3DS.
Why should I play it, though? Why should I play an old game?
Dude, it's Mega Man. That's why.
Okay.
Really? So are you done? No more retro games? You're just going to be playing your 3DS from now on?
Jason, can you give me a reason I should play old video games? Got a stage clear. Beat level 2.
I'm still holding on to Mega Man. That's
you
fine.
Like stuff.
Maybe I should kick you two off the podcast, because you can't explain to someone why they should play an old video game.
They have boxes, and you guys like boxes.
Thank you, Jason.
Well, anytime.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you so much.
That was really a stretch for you, we could tell.
Glad I could.
Man.
Speaking of stretching, we have a listener email discussion question. It goes like this. Hello, you handsome and charming gentlemen. I was curious as to what you thought about reproduction cartridges. To some, they are a way to play unreleased or untranslated games on their original hardware, but to others, they needlessly destroy copies of games that will never be able to be replaced. I was wondering where you fall on the spectrum. Except for Jason, since he is a heathen who doesn't like physical media, so no one cares what he thinks anyway. Signed, Joe Walker of the Backlog Video Series, as you can see on onemorecastle.com. He does great work.
He does.
And by great, I mean, like, legitimately better than 99.9% of the other content creators out there.
Wow. That's, wow.
I can say that with full confidence and zero hesitation.
Jeez, I was thinking about doing a video series. I might as well just give up on it, though.
Well, just because you're worse than Joe Walker doesn't mean that what you do isn't worth doing.
No, it's not. It won't be worth doing.
Okay, fine. What kind of? Well, so, no, the one with you and your brother—that was a cool idea.
Yeah, that's never gonna happen.
Okay. Yeah, most cool ideas never do.
Yeah. I'm all for reproduction. I think we can sacrifice the many millions of Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt to give give precedence to a game that deserved to have a big launch and didn't see it in days past. Just because the audience isn't there now and it is today, I mean that I would sacrifice carts left and right to get games like that. So
yeah. Although I do dislike specifically the idea of old stuff being destroyed to make stuff like when they make those belts where an NES controller was gutted to make the buckle, that's really tacky to me.
Right.
But I don't know if people realize there are some NES games that millions of them were made. Like millions, not just like tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands, like a few million copies, like Silent Service from Konami. Not a great game. And I mean millions. Like there are places in these warehouses where there are pallets of these unopened, unused cartridges, and that's where some of these reproducers get their so-called donor carts wholesale. So
right.
I actually feel much less of an ethical twinge than I used to. But even then, yeah, I completely agree with Hunter. I think when you have an experience like the Nintendo World Championships, the authentic cartridge, there's only a few hundred of them. Who's going to have them and get to play them? Hardly anyone. But you reproduce it, you can give people the same thrill of that experience, make it widely accessible. It's all about inclusion rather than exclusivity. Less gatekeepers, more gaming.
Well, and the important part to remember is the only purpose of doing this is so that we can play it on original hardware like it was intended. I mean...
Right. Like physical media is superior.
Yeah.
I hate you both.
Well, no, it's like, I mean, technology's gotten so far as now, nine times out of ten, you don't even need a donor cart. Because there are companies out there that are making shells for NES carts to work on original hardware. Like when I picked up Battle Kid 1 and 2, which are amazing games. If you haven't heard of them, please check them out. Battle Kid, Fortress Apparel, very good. It came on a green cart. Now, that's cool for two reasons. One, because it's green. I mean, come on, let's face it. That's pretty cool. Anytime you got a colored cart with the rest of your games, like that's, I mean, the black Killer Instinct cart, that's badass.
Yeah.
But not only that, it sticks out on your shelf. So, like, when you have, like, friends over or something like that, and they're like, what the hell's that green game? Like, it's a perfect conversation piece.
Yeah.
So, that, I mean, I like the idea of donor carts, and I know there's some consoles you still need donor carts, like the Sega Genesis, you still need donor carts to be able to reprogram the boards on them and stuff. But, I mean, you give it 5 years. I mean, everything's going to be, especially with 3D printers, you won't even have to sacrifice donor carts anymore.
Yeah, so there's really no reason to oppose reproduction carts. Like, what kind of selfish, miserly jerk would you have to be to really actually have the opinion that, oh, no, we should restrict gaming experiences.
Now,
like, only people who own the original Nintendo World Championship should be able to play the game.
I gotta ask you something about reproduction carts.
Go, Jason.
Okay. What's the difference between playing, from a legal standpoint, a reproduction cart as opposed to a ROM?
I think it's the reproduction cart, it's definitely more of a gray area. Because you're essentially buying the cartridge, not the game that's on it. That makes sense.
But that's like saying, like, I'm gonna sell you this hard drive. It just happens to have all these movies.
Right.
All right.
It is a weird place where.
So wait, if I put a ROM. I've downloaded this zip file. It just happens to have all these ROMs in it.
Well, it is a weird thing. It's like when music was pirated widespread, I assume it still is. I mean, they usually don't go for people. But ROMs versus reproductions has that funny way of, with ROMs, it's like if you download the ROMs, the onus is on you. Like the legal ramifications are on you. But I think with a reproduction, it's actually on the reproducer. They have to come up with all these inventive, funny ways of trying to explain away their actions.
Yeah. Right. I mean, with music, it was a little different. Like, no, none of the music producers gave two hoots if you recorded a song on a cassette tape because of the quality. Over time, cassette tapes lose the electromagnetic dust, basically, and the cassette tape becomes practically unusable. But when MP3s came out, and it was like, no, you can play this a million times, and the quality will never degrade, and it's super easy to access and accessible, that's when things started to pick up. Like, I think that's one of the bigger issues with ROMs in general, is it's just so easy to move that kind of merchandise online, because we're talking bits here.
Yeah, and the other interesting wrinkle with reproducers is that with a ROM, nobody buys a ROM. Nobody spends real money to obtain a ROM. Doesn't matter if it's an original, like, homebrew game ROM or an actual existing game ROM. But with reproduction carts, you have people selling, like, this is the copy we made.
Yeah, it seems worse than of this game.
It is, basically.
Yeah. Shh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I, but like Battle Kit is an interesting example where neither the cart nor the game were ever anyone's property to mess with anyway. So,
right,
sell that. Shoot, that's a fair game.
Yeah, fair and game. If you're going to include a box and an instruction booklet with artwork, I will spend the extra money to get that because that, if you take the time to put that much effort into your project that you essentially did for nothing, I'm going to give you my money. Because that's
physical
awesome.
Media included, mm-hmm. the better.
I even got the. It even came with the little styrofoam block on the bottom.
That's wonderful.
Because I pulled it out and I was like, "Oh, there's still something in here," and like I could hear it scraping against the cardboard coming out of the box. And I'm like, "No, can't touch this. I usually break these. Put it back."
That just makes your day seeing the styrofoam in there. That's authentic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was probably a donor. A donor.
Yeah. Donor styro.
Block. Bring it on, man. Bring on the repros. Bring them on. Yes.
Bring on the repros. I think it's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. So let's take a music break. Back! That was Major Tom by Kasatochi, an 8-bit remix of a classic pop song off their free album of pop track remixes. The album's called Please Frob the Scram Switch on Your Way Out. Track 1, just so you know, is somebody that I used to know, which I find very amusing. And technically they might be 16-bit remixes. I don't have a good ear for those things, I'm sorry. But I recommend checking out Download It. It's really cool. What a great idea. Speaking of great ideas, it's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For anyone who doesn't know, or for those who enjoy rehashes of things they do, this is the part of the show where each of us has secretly chosen an old video game. We'll have 1 minute to introduce our choice individually, and then as a group, we'll just kind of argue about who picked the best game. That's what we'll spend the rest of the episode doing. And the best part, though, is that you, the listener, get to vote for your favorite of the three on a poll on the podcast episode page on onemorecastle.com. So hopefully, one of our arguments will sway you, or at the very least, we will prove to be mildly entertaining in our aggressive exchange. Two episodes ago, the theme was a special guest free-for-all, because Tom Hall was around. And the winner was... Jason!
Oh,
it means that Jason's won, like, so many weeks in a row, it's ridiculous. And he beat the special guest. I mean, normally... I'm getting way too excited about this, I'm sorry. Normally, it's kind of like tradition that the special guest gets to win the Retro Showdown. It kind of naturally works out that way. I mean, the people vote for the special guest. That's just how it happens. But nope. Jason's just going to continue his reign of dominance forever. There's no stopping the J train.
I, for one, welcome our overlords.
Our Canadian overlords.
Syrup for all my minions.
Wow.
Wow.
Do you get the numbers?
Because Jason brought Star Trek 25th Anniversary, episode 81, which I would have never guessed would have won, but it beat Whip Rush and Traffic 13-9-4.
Wow.
So his votes equaled the votes that went to Whip Rush and Traffic combined.
I was going
to
say, Joe's theory may be correct.
What's that?
His theory of how to topple the great Jason Lamb.
I forget already. What did he say?
I remember. I'm just not going to tell you.
Okay. Then I hope the subconscious mind in here, in my brain, just naturally lets it out for me.
I'm confused by all
I
of
just,
this.
I just can't remember what he said. He did tell us the secret. I can't remember. Oh, well. New week, new showdown. Yeah, the theme this week is Game with a Sky Level. So all the games tonight should have a sky level somewhere in them. Cool.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Also, this is the first week in 3 or 4 weeks that we've had the normal host for the show.
Yeah.
Like, we've had special guests the past 3 episodes. It's been a month since the three of us were together.
Yeah.
So, may the best host win. Good to see you guys again.
Oh, hey.
So Jason can actually be our official timekeeper.
All right. Are you ready?
I'm so glad you always ask that. I really am. This week, I'm as ready as I'm going to get, I guess. I really like the game. I'm just not sure how to best convey that.
All right. Well, you may begin.
In 1991, a game was released on the Nintendo Entertainment System, the NES, that finally proved Jaleco could do more than just make baseball games. It's a game called Wampum. Wampum. Coolest name. It's basically a Native American Mega Man game. And if you think I'm joking, no. It looks great. The soundtrack's good. It's a fast-paced action game, two-dimensional side-scroller, where different bosses you beat give you different new ways to use your spear weapon, like elemental ways and stuff. The game's challenging, super fun. There's a stage select, just like the Capcom tradition. They totally aped Mega Man. They even have like the whole every boss comes back at the end kind of thing. And the last level, you go up the Mystic Mountain into the sky. Wampum on NES. So good.
All right.
Oh, man, I've heard some crazy things in my day, but... That was a good one.
That's true. Hunter.
Yeah, it was a good one.
It's pretty blatant. Pretty blatant. Spirit of the Mega Man.
Hunter, are you ready?
Yes. Sorry. Yes.
All right.
What?
What? You
can. Huh?
Yes. Yes.
Good.
Can I go now?
Yeah, you can go.
Okay. One of the most iconic mascots of our generation started with a flub. So unique and creative that he will be lived on as the face of many great games and inspiring titles. One of the very first Game Boy games that I ever played and owned, it's Kirby's Dream Land for the Nintendo Game Boy. Released in 1992, donning the infamous white color scheme, you play as Kirby, a lovable, cuddly creature with the instinctive power to consume everything around him and steal its soul in the process. No one knew the immense destructive power and the lust for blood that Kirby possessed until many years later. But he's just so damn cute, you can't help but give him a squeeze. It's Kirby's Dream Land on the Nintendo Game Boy.
For anyone new to the podcast, if you maybe you're a new fan or this is your first episode, Hunter has the best Retro Showdown introductions. It's no contest.
I like writing them. I like writing them.
Just throwing that. I gotta actually try 1 week to have a good one.
I need to do another poem because that was so fun to write.
But if you do another one, that won't be as special.
Oh, well.
I mean, you could vary the form, like have a haiku or something. I don't know. I'll let you decide that.
Thank you, Bailey. Thank you for letting me decide my Retro Showdown intro.
No problem.
I appreciate it. All hail, Chief.
Hail Hydra.
Anyway, we got to let Jason go, I guess.
I guess so.
Oh, yeah. Jeez.
Okay, I guess I'll go. At least in 1998, this Nintendo game for the Nintendo 64 pits a number of people and animals in bizarrely constructed death matches a la The Hunger Games or that Japanese movie that had children being killed, much like The Hunger Games, with dashes of communism, odd collecting, and rules that make no sense. This game is perhaps one of Nintendo's oddest titles. Alas, it's a game that would give many children blisters on the palms of their hands. Mm. That's right, it's everyone's favorite game, Mario Party, featuring the lovely sky level platform peril. That's Mario Party for the N64.
Yep. Yeah.
Hmm. Well,
you.
So that
that's our showdown. So remember, please. Vote on the website, onemorecastle.com. Download the artist. We have a form. Submit. If you have a retro game remix or you're a chiptune artist or nerdcore or whatever, submit that on the site. We're going to be at Indie PopCon May 30th through June 1st. So please see us there. It's going to be a blasty blast and a half good time. Please send us listener email discussion questions because we are out right now. That email address is podcast@onemorecastle.com. That's the number one. Morecastle.com. You can follow us on Twitter @onemorecastle. Hope you enjoyed Review a Great Game Day last week. Go to reviewagreatgameday.com to enjoy the submissions this year or to see the archive for last year. I want to shout out to the live stream commenters. Looks like Dustin Faber, Valerie Minnick, Captain Knucklehead, thanks for joining us. Video Game Experiment, good to see you. Dogu Kandogu, good to see you. Jared Waldo joined us, good to see you, buddy. And a few other people, Paul Sharp, did I mention him already? I don't even know. So thank you guys so much. Remember, we broadcast a live stream 7:30 p.m. Central Thursday evenings. New episodes go up on site, onemorecastle.com, on Mondays. So, great show.
Thanks, Jason.
No. Well, Hunter, you're saying that, like, Jason did something wrong here. Like, what is it that you think Jason did? What is it that you think Jason did?
Yeah, what did I do wrong?
I didn't do anything wrong.
I know where you think you're going with this, but you are just as guilty, my friend.
Yeah, you brought...
I disagree. I think I brought the big guns and was crushed yet again.
No.
By our Canadian overlord.
Yeah, no. I think your gun is bigger than his. But I think his gun is...
That's a joke, right? That's a joke. You're funny.
No, Kirby?
Yeah, Kirby.
Kirby more than they like Mario.
When you said Kirby,
Party.
I got scared. It is Kirby.
I'm sorry, say that again?
People like Kirby more than like Mario Party. Don't get me wrong. Mario Party will get more votes, but Kirby is a bigger Nintendo cornerstone.
It's Kirby.
But it's Jason.
Really,
it's
Jason. Really.
It's Kirby.
Kirby's huge, dude. I mean, you talk about Mega Man ripoffs. Kirby's the best one out there. I picked the inferior Mega Man ripoff.
Have you ever played a Mega Man game? Because you're saying that Wampum is a Mega Man clone.
Are you saying it's not? Have you ever played Wampum?
I have. And it's not at all.
It's if you take away the projectile weaponry and make it melee, like hand-to-hand weaponry, it's a hand-to-hand version of it.
No. Nope.
Yes, it is. Level selection, you beat the bosses to take their powers. How many other games Did you take the boss's powers when you beat them? Like,
you're missing
literally
the, you're
actually
missing,
name them.
You're missing one of the biggest attributes.
Oh, what? There's no robots?
No, it's not the fact that there's no robots, which, again, is it is kind of a stigma that there aren't any robots in your game.
True.
But it's the fact that there's no, there has been no time or detail put into the enemies.
Oh,
unlike
stop.
Mega Man.
The enemies are
that
fine.
Is what makes
they're
Mega
not
Man
as good as Mega Man, but they're not bad. They're pretty good.
No, no, no. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's not what makes it a Mega Man clone. There's more focus on the platforming and the game level design.
Oh, sure. I'm not saying it's in, exactly pixel for pixel like Mega Man.
Well, no.
But
I'm just saying the core ideas aren't
cues.
There.
It's a copycat. It's copying ideas.
I mean, it's if you want to say that, then it's a copycat of lots of games.
Not really, though.
Really?
Yeah. You can't really accuse
I mean,
it
I would
that.
Say that this game's closer to Contra than Mega Man.
See, that's not true at all. That's insane. That's ridiculous.
No, that's insane.
That's what?
So
let's you know what? Let's talk about Wampum.
Please.
We are talking about Wampum, Jason. Where have you been?
Way to completely disregard our conversation. Wampum, 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 Wampum. Let's talk about Wampum. Can
Is
we do that?
You know what? Let's talk about Wampum.
Well, Jason, no. Feel free, please. Let's talk about Wampum for the first time.
My only thing with Wampum is it.
Your only thing. You have one and only thing. I'm really glad you only have one issue with Wampum. I'm so thrilled right now. Go for it.
Japanese developed game. Mm-hmm. You have this small, a child, with a spear. Mind you, in game it looks like an axe.
Really?
Or a staff.
Young man yeah. With his weapon.
He flies around on a cloud.
Sometimes, not like all the time. He's not like Rikichi.
How is this not a ripoff of Dragon Ball?
What? How is it?
Goku as a kid had a staff, flew around on a cloud, his Nimbus.
I don't. My knowledge of Dragon Ball and everything in that
universe. You know
is
what? You know what?
Awful.
I will run with it. Wampum. Is a hybrid of Dragon Ball and Mega Man. That is what Wampum is. And I figured out why Jason always wins Retro Showdown for the past like few months. I figured out why.
Let's
hear it.
Because one of us, Hunter, one of us always picks like the top shelf name brand super popular game. And one of us picks like a super obscure game. So like people aren't going to vote for the AAA game. Like, that'd be too mainstream, right? Like, the cool thing now is to be hipster and not vote for that. But nobody's going to actually vote for the obscure game they don't really know about or haven't heard of or aren't familiar with. They're always going to go with that middle ground, that safe haven, that Jason-flavored sweet
spot. That Mario Party?
That Mario Party?
Yeah, they're going to party.
Like, dude, I hate Mario Party so much.
Oh, do tell us, Hunter.
I like the idea of essentially taking a board game and adding video game aspects to it. That is such a neat idea. But especially the first Mario Party for the 64 was so bad. Like, it feels like an incomplete game to me.
Really?
I actually agree. I like Mario Party 3 so much more than the other ones on the Nintendo 64. Even two.
Even the newer ones. Like, Mario
Party
8. Oh, yeah.
Like, they rebooted the formula and, like, tried different things. Like, I mean, they're not awful games, but 3's where it's at. 3 is.
No, the original is the best. They got
Prime Cut.
The Mario Party games have gotten worse.
Nintendo had to, like, give people free gloves to play Mario Party with because they were under, like, legal pressure because they were injuring people from those stupid.
And then they released the Wii, and people are breaking flat screen TVs, and
well, that's their
you know whatever.
That's not Nintendo's
fault. Right.
I just can't
do it, man.
Jason, a quick request: can you drink a little louder? That would be awesome.
Oh man, perfect. That's the Canadian slurps right there. Better. All right. That's enough.
Gargle for us, Jason. Wow.
I was choking.
Okay. Hunter, question for you. Yes. What enemy powers can you copy in Kirby's Dream Land?
I can't remember. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I know you can turn people into stars. That's kind of cool. That's like spitting their soul out. Because he's a bloodthirsty vampire.
Wow.
Do you know or should I look it up?
I'd like you to look it up. Go ahead and look it up.
Okay.
Give me a list.
Oh, yeah. You can't take his powers in this one.
What was that, Hunter? What was that?
Yeah, you can't take... I just remembered, yeah.
What? No. I still didn't quite catch what you were...
The ability to take your enemy's power does not exist in Kirby's Dream Land.
Okay, but it seems like the taking of powers was a pretty central point in your introduction there.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Am I wrong, Jason?
No.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm saying that you're wrong.
You can hear
me. The central point in my intro was the fact that you were sucking people up to take their souls.
That's not what you said originally.
Yeah.
I can read it for you if you'd like.
Please do.
He's got the instinctive power to consume everything around him and steal their souls in the process.
Oh, yeah, I guess there it is. Now, was that instinctive or distinctive?
Well, I wrote it... Usually when I write, I don't think a lot. I just go for it. So I want to say that my ability to recall... childhood memories from playing this game were correct. But more than likely, I had thought that you could take their ability.
I'm going to go ahead and guess you remembered Kirby's Adventure. You thought it'd be cool to bring Kirby's Dream Land.
Well, that's such a big thing now. Like, I thought Kirby was so cool in Dream Land that when they started doing the whole power thing, like, it's kind of unnerving when I play it, because it's like,
what?
I'll accidentally suck somebody up and hit down, and suddenly I got this crappy sword that I'm... It's like,
how
I can't do anything with this.
Like, accidentally suck someone up and then press down? Also, the sword is not sucky. Also, you can press select to get rid of the power if you want to. Oh, but I guess you're right.
I understand
that. Worry about
but
all
that's
of that in Kirby's Dream.
No, I understand that, but
he's
it's an
not
extra
even
step that
pink.
I have to take that takes me out of the game.
Because
I have to see him vomit the remains of an enemy that he just swallowed, which is disgusting.
Jason, I'm going to ask you a question I can't ask Hunter because I can't trust him to be objective about this. So can I ask you something about what me and Hunter are talking about?
Yeah.
So... Jason, don't you find it a little, at least a little disingenuous that here Hunter is trying to portray the merits of a game where you don't copy powers to the extent that he's saying it's unnerving to suddenly play a game in the series where you do copy powers and you inadvertently take a power, select a power, yet he's constantly praising Mega Man, a series in which the use of selected powers is paramount to the game.
Well, my only conclusion is that he secretly hates Mega Man, and he wants no one to know.
Yeah,
Can I have a rebuttal?
Well, after this, may
I buttle the rebuttal?
Yep, my conclusion, I like Jason's. Mine is either, Hunter, either you hate Mega Man, or you're just a filthy liar with no debate ethics whatsoever. Nobody can trust you in the showdown.
That's a good one.
Wow, so not only are you discrediting my game, but you're discrediting me as a human being.
I'm going
That's
after
low,
your
Bailey.
Character as
That's
a
low.
Human
Ouch.
Being tonight. I'm full bore. Right to it, me.
I can play that.
All right, let's do this.
I can do this.
Rebuttal?
I love Mega Man.
Yep, okay.
I love Mega Man.
It's not like you mentioned it.
And the reason that I said that taking people's abilities and adventure on is bad is because, let's face it, man, the abilities suck. They are really bad.
In Mega Man?
No, I think he's trying to say the,
no,
the
in
powers in
Kirby's
Adventure. Which I think just means he sucked at the game. But...
It's really, well, it's a brand new game mechanic for me.
A whole new game
mechanic. Don't you dare close your eyes.
I'm so sorry.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, But no, like that, here's what I'll say. I've played practically every Kirby game that's been released. And I've always had a bad distaste for the taking of abilities. Because, in my opinion, the abilities are so bad. But it wasn't until Smash Brothers where taking your opponent's ability was actually worth it.
Now, see, so that's like the exact opposite of the actual truth. Because in Smash Brothers, it's not really that big of an advantage to take the powers as Kirby. Kirby's not a top-tier character. But in the game, it's...
No, but the ability to hold in your attack...
Oh, okay.
And right, that's what I'm getting at.
Okay.
Like, that is what I like, because that is new. Hmm. When Dream Land first came out, that was brand new to me. To be able to suck somebody in, hold your attack, and then shoot it out whenever you wanted. Like, that was a big deal to me, because that was...
Yeah, attacking new. Whenever you want.
Yeah, such a pressing, novel pressing concept. No. Contra to attack whenever you want.
Strangely.
Anyway.
Newfound idea.
You guys are... It's getting a little...
You know what we're overlooking?
Honest?
It's getting a little too much. I'm so sorry.
Jason, what did you even say?
Your game is a piece of crap there, Eric. Bailey?
Okay, on what?
Bailey?
On what basis are you making this conjecture, Lamb?
I looked up on the Book of Knowledge, Wampum.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
It's just
full disclosure, he's an editor on the Book of Knowledge, so I can hardly trust what he's about to say. I wish
did you forget
a different source,
about Wampum, Hunter?
Why would he use a source that he can't edit to say what he wants? So go ahead, Lamb.
It's a reskin of a Japanese game where the protagonist is Sun Wukong, the King Monkey, one of the most popular characters in Chinese culture, which is based on the Journey to the West novel, which Dragon Ball is based on. So the Japanese have developed this game.
That is really cool.
That is cool. That'd be great. That would make sense given the mechanics of the game. But they've suddenly, somehow in some guy's mind in 1990, he's gone, you know what? We need to bring this to the North American market. What can we do for North America? I know. Native Americans. We'll just shoehorn
Which,
in.
I mean, nowadays, that's...
Makes sense to
that's
me,
something right? else nowadays. I don't think that would have worked out.
Yeah, now it's, you know... Indigenous peoples. I mean, you can hardly even call them American. The term American is something mm-hmm. that the settlers came up with, not the natives.
Yeah,
right.
Still offensive even to call them Native Americans, you racist pricks.
Your game is for racist pricks. You know what your game reminds me of?
I will concede that racist pricks... maybe among those who happen to enjoy my game. But I think you're confusing causation with correlation. People enjoy Wampum because it's good, not because they're racist or not.
Is it good?
Yeah,
the only
it's
other game
good.
I can think
it's
of that had
good.
A that had an Indian in it was Cowboy Kid. And he was Player 2, which is the biggest slap in the face in retro gaming ever, is Player 2.
Well, also the fact that you
like,
spend the
Like, oh, you
want to first...
play the game 2? Well, now you're red.
You spend so much of that game stabbing Mexicans. Like, that's...
I shouldn't laugh.
So,
that's
so much of that game.
That's the way you said it.
You just walk around.
No, it's true.
Shanking Mexicans,
like,
man.
That's
what you do.
Stab.
You're a Mexican.
You're shanking Mexicans the entire time in the game.
Now
like
there's
it's too much, man.
There is a
like
great out of context quote from Jason Lamb. You're a Mexican.
You're
a Mexican.
Mexican.
I'm so sorry. No, Wampum's good. While we're citing sources, NintendoLegend.com gave Wampum 3.5 stars.
Really?
Yeah, really. Have you played it? Like beginning to play the. It's a good game. It is fun.
You use that word so loosely nowadays. Yeah. Good game. Like, it's okay.
Yeah, it's not a good game. Kirby's
good Let's game. Take this to that level of depth. What makes a game good or not? Because...
it's good.
Well, I don't know. Let's find out. Let's see. You gave Wampum 3.5 stars. Yeah. Correct.
Well, I don't have any explanations for my scores. Maybe I need to include that.
No. I was just making sure that was.
Right. I mean, if we're going by ratings, let's go to game FAQs where the worst.
The sadder bit
six.
Of information is that you haven't reviewed a single Mega Man game.
That hurts my heart.
No, man, that hurts my heart a little bit. What? Like that. IamEricM.com, I have an entire month of November dedicated to the idol that is Mega Man.
I saved.
And you haven't even
Legend
given
of
it
Zelda until number 300. Wow. I mean, I haven't reviewed. Look at the games I have not reviewed. You can tell I'm spacing out. If I reviewed all the great games and then had 300 crappy games left to review, what would people really look forward to? I wouldn't have any clickbait left. There would be no reason for me to promote my new reviews.
Is that how you do it? Clickbait? Jeez,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, clickbait. Oh, you and I both know. If I release my review of Mega Man and my review of, let's say, Incredible Crash Test Dummies, which one is going to get bigger buzz? Which one? I haven't done either game. Which one?
Okay. Hold on. We need to talk about in terms of levels first, because lots of clicks for you, even though it may be, I don't know, Sunday Funday.
Done it.
I know, you gave it 1.5. I don't even know what this is, but it looks awful.
Look up.
You're going to get a ton more visitors than I ever would on my most popular games. So why don't you do the little guy a favor? Oh, okay, so you review Super Mario Brothers and Super Mario Brothers 2 and Super Spike V-Ball?
Yeah.
But no Mega Man. You want to talk about somebody losing credibility today. That is you, my friend.
You know what? You're right, Hunter. This is getting strangely personal. You're not even critiquing my game. You're critiquing the choice of NES games I've reviewed that haven't matched your particular fondnesses.
That's right.
I'm so sorry, my friend. I'm so sorry.
Your game's just super racist, man. Yeah. That's all.
How is it? No. I actually genuinely want to know, how is my game racist?
It's almost as racist as my Huckleberry Finn game I brought that one time.
Okay, because that game's racist.
No, that was way more
black.
Racist. That was a racist game.
Who is my game racist against?
Like, no, my
Native Americans.
Yeah.
How is it racist against Native Americans? They're portrayed as the heroic figure here.
It's I understand that.
Yeah,
it's
not even like some kind of caricature of their negative
moments.
They've somehow looked at the North American market and gone, you know what? North America, Indians.
Rather than creating a brand new mascot
for the gaming
sphere, you know what? We're just going to go for the low blow.
I admit, I see here, it's exploitative.
It's this weird external view of North America where Indians, it's going to sell there.
Hey, look,
I brought
just because you know
game.
Bigger words than us, it does not mean that our arguments are not credible. I'm just throwing that out there. Put my foot down. I'm sorry.
Wampum.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, Wampum. Like, what kind of a name is that?
Well, it's
like,
a play on words.
That's where the racism is. Okay. It's like dripping. Why couldn't it just be his name?
Or, I am more clearly seeing how my game is racist now. That's actually funny and true.
Like, that's
wampum
really bad.
Is an Indian word, but they don't even mean like wampum, like the currency or the beads or anything. They just
exactly.
Mean,
like it's the bastardized version of the white
apostrophe
man.
E-M, like wampum. You know, it's we're so funny.
Like, they can't even complete full words. We have to use apostrophes.
Okay, okay.
That's how intelligent
they
are.
You're right.
Super
if you
racist.
Brought it, I would totally say it was racist. Yeah, you're right.
Wampum. It is a lot of fun to say, though. Yeah. I will say that.
Wampum.
So, wampum. Womp 'em.
Can I attack someone's game? Can I do that?
Womp 'em.
Jason. Womp 'em. Thanks. I like how you made it explicitly clear that you brought a Nintendo game for Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
You didn't bring, like, you know, like a Sony PlayStation game. Like, you brought a Nintendo game.
I did. It's the only
for the Nintendo.
Yeah, it's the only reason to buy a Nintendo console.
What was that thing you were trying to say where it hits the number of people and animals and sorrily constructed What were you trying to say there?
I don't know. I'm just kind of rambling. It's like what I normally. Okay. It's what I normally do. I don't prepare anything.
That's the first attack from a Canadian.
Maybe I shouldn't have asked, because now it just sounds impressive. That was an impressive bit of rambling. those pauses for dramatic effect.
Yes, thank you.
I appreciate them in a whole new light now.
There you go.
Those will be cut down in the edit.
When you say there's dashes of communism, do you mean like in the fact that stars and coins are like exchanged and shared?
No,
what do you mean by that?
No, I mean it because Nintendo, in their infinite lack of wisdom, with the N64, they start transitioning from Nintendo hard to, oh my god, the people who are playing our games are idiots. Where
what's
they actually
with communism? What is,
they?
I'm still confused.
Hold on, I'm getting to
well.
It. With Mario Party, they actually, and they do the same thing in Mario Kart. They dole out rewards for doing poorly. It's not based on skill. It's like, oh, you came in last every single game. Here's 3 stars. Good for you. We wouldn't want you to feel bad for falling behind.
Really good.
Oh, you have the least amount of coins.
You landed on the most red squares.
Oh,
good
for
you.
For you.
Luck is on your side.
Yeah.
Here's a couple of stars.
Here's a couple of stars.
I think you're exaggerating the extent to which poorness is rewarded.
No,
albeit,
no,
I see.
It's like Mario Kart. Oh, you're in last.
Here's your blue
here's
shell.
Here's your blue shell and all these boosts because you obviously can't play this game. Because we think you're an idiot. Because we're Nintendo.
They've still done that, though. Like, the new Super Mario Brothers for the Wii U.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you die in a single level, I want to say it's, like, 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, 3.
Like, they give you that golden Kanuki suit that is, you just have invincibility the entire time.
Yeah. It's why would I play the game?
Did you just say Kanuki suit?
Yeah.
Because you had Canucks in mind? Like, it's a Canadian Tanuki suit?
Yeah.
Because that's funny.
Well, wait, what's it called?
Well, that's funny.
So, yeah, Mario Party is
Tanuki.
Okay.
Wow.
Cool. Mario Party is Kamiya. Okay.
That's a good final argument.
Okay. You're doing a great job of twisting everything I say into something interesting. So, my final critique, Jason, would be in your opening statement.
Yep.
I'm going to go ahead and call it that. Why bother mentioning that the game you brought and you hope people vote for gave thousands of children blisters on their hands
because
harmed them physically?
One, I dislike children. And two, it toughens people up. And three, you can show off all the kids at school, hey, look at this cool blister. I just got Mario Party.
Wow. And I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I think Mario Party was the first game that I realized that the N64 controller got that dust on the analog stick.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yeah, it wears it out. Yeah.
Yeah, like that was the first time I noticed it like building up. And I'm like, what the hell is this?
I might have my controller that I've worn down like pretty deep in the grooves.
No, I can't.
Let's see. Yeah, here we are. If you can see this on the webcam,
I can see it.
Yeah, there it is. The stuff.
That's stick dust right there.
Thousands of hours of plastic wearing on plastic right there.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yep.
Hunter, I just had one question left for you.
Sure.
Did you say Kirby was lustful? Did I catch that?
I don't know. Let me see. He lusts for blood. I think I said that.
That's even stranger.
But it's accurate. So
is Kirby really a hero? I think he's more of a villain. I think he eats everybody he sees. He just eats them. I think the residents of Dreamland are being terrorized by a monster.
Yeah, he has a lust for blood. That's what I said.
Okay.
I think he's. Here's how I look at Kirby, especially with Dreamland, because again. That and Kirby's Pinball are easily the two Kirby games I've put the most time into. So,
easily.
You know, my view is going to be a little skewed, if that's okay. I think Kirby means well. I think he does. I think he means well. But his means of combat are so sick and twisted that it can come off as being bad as a villain. Like, that would be, and I'm going to break it, and I'm really sorry, guys, but this is the only example I could think of. That would be like if you wanted to cure cancer, you had to poop on people. That's, you know what I mean? Like, nobody wants to do it. Nobody wants to go through it.
We really can't get away from poop. We just can't get away from it. You just had to bring it out.
We went an entire month of special guests without mentioning it. So you're welcome.
Touche, or should I say poop-che? No, I shouldn't. That's really dumb.
Oh, it's too late. It's too late. But no, I think you should pick Kirby's Dream Land, because how cool is it? And this is, I mean, think of this. How cool is it that you have this, I mean, essentially, yes, it's a big platform, but it's still a portable, you know, doesn't have that same power as a console does. But you release this game with this brand new mascot, and he ends up blowing up to what he is today. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's a huge leap. Like, that shows me that Nintendo does listen to gamers and how they feel of the people playing their products.
So basically,
because I don't think Nintendo would have created any other Kirby games if that game was not a success.
Well, sure, sure. But, yeah, I like how you just countered Jason's point pretty well. I do have to say, though, this episode is going to be so long, Hunter. I hope you have some mad editing tricks up your sleeve. We have grown so comfortable with each other. Final arguments!
Have you met me?
No.
Actually, yeah, I have. Jason, have you met Hunter?
I haven't.
No, haven't. No, you haven't.
But he will.
Weird.
But he will. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Final arguments. Hunter, why should anyone vote for the Kirby game where Kirby's not even pink and he can't even copy enemy abilities?
Because those true retro gamers out there can remember a time where Kirby's platforming adventures were simple and pure. That is why you should vote for Kirby's Dream Land.
Yeah, you know that platforming, he can just fly over. You know that precision platforming, he can just conveniently
float. I thought I figured out a cheat code when I was a kid. And I was like, I can fly?
It's like having a P-Wing all the time! This is awesome!
It's amazing! Telling me I just need to suck in some air and I can fly away? Fantastic.
Oh. Jason, why should anyone vote for the worst simulation of communism ever created?
Should vote for this communist Mario Party game to remember
the Communist Party.
Yes. The Communist Party urges
Mario
you to vote.
Mario Communist Party.
He dresses in red.
Oh, Mario's communist.
Has a mustache.
I don't know what that means.
Just keep going, Jeez. I'm sorry.
That's right. He's a communist.
that's your final.
So that's my argument.
And communism. You know that's all he needs, because he's going to get more votes than your Hunter.
Nope.
Easily.
Yep.
He's going to get probably double our votes.
Nope.
You should vote for Wampum, because it's an... Wow, we laughed at already.
So bad.
It's an overlooked, so underappreciated bad. NES gem. There is, I admit, a sea of two-dimensional platformers out there. Wampum, though, manages to be above average.
Above averagely racist.
That's all I really ask for in a game. I don't need it to be Mega Man all the time. Wampum is a worthwhile romp in old-school action. Try it if you haven't. It's kind of game Joe Walker would feature on the backlog.
Oh, what?
It's that kind of game. So, I already said all this stuff earlier about email us, please, podcast@womercastle.com. Check out indiepopcon.com to see when to meet us there. Live stream is at 7:30 p.m. on Thursday evenings if you ever want to see us do this podcast live rather than just download the audio version, but that goes up Mondays. Please vote in the poll and leave comments. We love when big, silly conversations start on the podcast episode. Live stream comment or shout outs, blah, blah, blah. No, really, I appreciate you guys for watching and commenting. If you want to follow me for some sick, weird reason on Twitter, I am at Nintendo_legend. Blog is NintendoLegend.com. I should update it sometime this month.
Maybe.
Hunter!
Maybe not.
Anything to add?
You can follow me on Twitter as well, at Eric Hunter. My indie game review blog is IamEricM.com, where I review indie games. You should check that out. Also do another podcast called Breaking Bits. With the one and only Mr. Tom Hall over at officialvghc.com. And I think we should clarify just a little bit, saying that we're going to be at IndiePopCon, we're not going to just be walking around aimlessly, so you have to track us down. We actually have a legit booth.
Yeah.
We will be playing video games. Please come and see us. Game it up.
Yeah, you can play games with us. I think, Hunter, me and you should each bring a game we're really good at and see if there's anyone in the world or anyone in the Midwest of America that can beat us at it. I might bring Tetris Attack.
Just, well, don't forget, I'm bringing my Genesis with my multi-tap and Mega Bomberman.
Mega Bomberman.
It's going to happen. So just throwing that out there.
So excited. I like how Jason said that Mario Party might be one of Nintendo's oddest titles, even though it's against every part of the definition of odd, considering how many Mario Party games they've made and what Mario characters are included in the game. It's not really odd at all. That being said, great episode, guys.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I feel like I didn't make fun of Jason enough.
Sorry.
But just so everyone out there knows, yeah, that's true. There's always next week. I'm glad the three of us are back together. Listeners, just remember.
Whoa. What? Am I allowed to do a shout out?
Did I not?
Apparently not.
Wow, I really did.
Somebody should let our Canadian over.
I'm so tired of Jason.
Fine. Follow me on Twitter.
Jason, I'm tired of Jason.
It's at Jason Lamb.
Winning the show.
I give a shout out to myself.
Hey!
Screw you guys.
I know what I'm not wanted.
Oh, and also Jason Lamb will be at IndiePopCon, so you can literally touch a Canadian.
Touch a Canadian! That's what we're going to call the booth. And I'm going to be one more cat. It's going to be Touch a Canadian!
Just a picture with Jason with like two thumbs up.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised Jason puts up with us.
What would he do without us? That's what I think.
Classic Canadian dependency on its bigger southern brother. So, listeners, and just remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week!